And thank you so much for being here. I do want to acknowledge that I am sort of double booked, and so I will have to be leaving right after this presentation, but I'm going to be leaving my contact information, and I encourage anyone that has questions, feel free to contact me. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Justin Moore, who spearheaded the data collection on this specific project, Kevin Remington, who helped with some of the GIS measurements and data collection, and then my advisor, Dr. Kaczynski, who's in the room with us here. And I have no financial relationships to disclose for this project. So just a little bit of background. I do a lot of research with childhood obesity, and we know that it's a significant public health issue with approximately 12.5, I think now it's 12.7 million children between the ages of 2 and 19 currently overweight or obese. And in North Carolina specifically, that percentage is a little bit higher with 31.4% of those youth 3 to 17 years overweight or obese. And we know that obesity in childhood results in long-term issues with 70% of children more likely to be overweight or obese as adults if they're having those issues in childhood. So obviously something that we want to find ways to intervene upon, and one of my approaches is through physical activity because it can significantly reduce the risk of obesity and related diseases. Obviously, you guys probably are all fully aware of recommendations, but 60 minutes or more of moderate to vigorous physical every day. However, only about a fourth of our youth the middle school age range, 9 to 13 years, are meeting those recommendations, and only 32.4% or about a third of North Carolina middle school students are meeting those recommendations currently. And we do know that rural youth are at a greater risk for physical inactivity and obesity than urban youth. And so this study wanted to take an ecological approach. You know, over the years, we've kind of refocused from looking at the individual or biological-based concepts related to childhood obesity to more of this ecological framework or paradigm that explores environmental factors, and that was a really great segue by Dr. Perry coming in and looking at some of those rural environments and walkability and connectivity. So we know that those things are related to obesity and physical activity, and that we know that they can be mechanisms to facilitate or hinder physical activity depending on how we're designing our environments. And that we also know that time spent outdoors is positively associated with childhood physical activity. So definitely being outside and what's outside is important for how these children are going to be acting and being physically active. So one of the new variables that has come into light more recently is exploring this idea of how green your neighborhood is. Trees, vegetation. We know that this concept sort of supports smart growth urban planning principles, which supports things like walkability and connectivity, mixed land use, some of the things that were explored in the previous presentation. And we know that neighborhood greenness encourages youth time spent outdoors and is associated with lower risk of overweight and increased amounts of physical activity in youth. However, there are still some remaining gaps in that literature that I wanted to explore a little bit more. For example, a lot of the studies right now are based on self-report physical activity, and so I wanted to try to get in and get a better idea of objective measures of physical activity so we can better understand that relationship. And then really understanding how these variables might be different in rural environments versus urban environments, because there are some special considerations for understanding how we think about them theoretically and then also how we design those variables spatially between the environment and physical activity. For example, some of the assumptions of that synergistic relationship between what we feel a green neighborhood might be and urban planning sort of smart growth principles of those green environments may be more walkable, may be more connected, and those concepts may not apply then in rural youth settings. As well, in GIS, when looking at spatial variables, there's always considerations for how you're creating your variables and whether or not those variables are based off of neighborhoods that you're defining for the youth and how those neighborhoods might apply differently in urban settings versus rural settings. So there are a couple of things that I wanted to explore. So the purpose of this study was really to look at the relationship between neighborhood greenness variables in a multiple variables of greenness with objectively measured youth physical activity in urban and rural middle school youth. And I asked a couple of different research questions. One, is neighborhood greenness associated with achieving a greater level of physical activity? Does this relationship differ whether they're urban or rural youth? And does this relationship differ by how we're defining their neighborhoods? And we'll get a little bit more into sort of the buffers and network versus Euclidean type things that you might create in geographic information systems. And then are those greenness measures significantly different? Are how we create those neighborhoods then changes how we create those greenness variables, and is that important for us to understand. So the study setting was two counties in North Carolina, Greene and Pitt County. And we went into, we got 303 youth to participate from three different middle schools. They wore accelerometers on their hip for 7 days. And we also administered a survey collecting demographics, age, sex, race, home address, as well as some other things that related to the broader project that was going on. We also, for this project, collected spatial data. Now, typically, you see a lot more of the land cover data being used, but I thought it was important for the greenness variable that the time stamps between when youth were being active and the imagery that we were collecting for greenness matched up very closely, because obviously, as you might be aware, greenness changes throughout the year, and so having those things be closer together was important for us. So we used a different type of aerial imagery, satellite imagery, than what normally is used for these studies, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. And then, of course, the physical activity actigraph accelerometers captured intensity and duration. So we started off by categorizing the youth as rural or urban, and then going about looking at the ways that we define neighborhoods for these youth. And so I wanted to explore two different types of neighborhood definitions that you see amongst the literature. The one on the left is considered a Euclidean buffer, which is where the participant household is right in the middle, and then you draw a straight line out, and then just a circle all the way around them. And the other type of neighborhood that we create variables from is a network neighborhood, and that's where you go out following a street network a certain distance. And so you'll see that they're not all the same shape, they're not all the same size, because it's going to depend on how your network, your streets, are laid out around where you live. And so obviously, when we think about applying this for urban versus rural youth, you could see some bigger differences there. Our greenness measures, we looked at mean normalized difference vegetation index. That's basically a fancy equation for how literally green are the pixels of the satellite imagery that we're looking at. And the values range, once we calculate it, from -1, where there's absolutely no green, to a +1, which is very green, lush vegetation, forest area, things like that. And from our data we downloaded, we created an 11-class land cover and land use scheme, which is very similar to the national land cover data that's typically used for these types of studies. And then we created neighborhood developed intensity variables, which is sometimes used as a proxy for developed open space. So how developed is this area, understanding that greenness in that context. And so low intensity was classes 1 through 6, which was mostly natural vegetation. And then medium intensity was sort of this mix between natural vegetation and constructed materials. So you have some trees, some houses, some apartments, things like that in there. And then high intensity was mostly constructed materials. So you're going to see more impervious surface, like parking lots, the tops of buildings, things like that within those categories. And then, like I said, we asked youth to wear physical activity monitors, accelerometers on their right hip for 7 days, and set the data to collect at 30-second epochs, and summed the raw minutes of youth activity with at least 4 10-hour valid wear days. So the youth had to be wearing them all day long and have good data for us to count those minutes. And then we did a weekly average minutes based on the Evanson cut points of sedentary activity is less than 100 counts per minute. Light was between 100 and almost 2,300 counts, and then moderate to vigorous, obviously, which we're most interested in, was greater than 2,300 minutes counts per minute. And so the first thing that you have to do when looking at data like this is understand if there's any spatial correlation going on. Is there any clustering in the youth that lived close by? Were they having similar higher levels of physical activity versus clusters of lower physical activity? We want to see if that data was clustering anywhere. So we ran a test for spatial autocorrelation, which was a Moran's eye, to understand what type of analysis we needed to do on this, because it does vary according to that. And it actually came up, which you'll see in a minute, that we did not have clustering data, so we didn't need to do any type of advanced sort of geographic weighted regression or anything like that. We stratified our sample again by urban versus rural, and then we did a multiple linear regression to examine each of our neighborhood greenness variables, so the mean difference vegetation index and each of the low, medium, and high developed intensity variables against our youth physical activity variables, which was sedentary light and moderate to vigorous physical activity. And, of course, all models controlled for things that we know might be confounders, age, sex, BMI, race. And then afterwards, we'll talk a bit about, we did a paired samples t-test to explore some of the differences between our neighborhood definitions, between those Euclidean buffers and network greenness variables for the total sample, and then we also split those out by urban versus rural use. So in our sample, we had a majority female, non-white, and the average age was about 12.2 years. With approximately less than 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity per day on average, so really not the most active sample of youth that we're looking at. In the sedentary category, we found that the rural youth were achieving more sedentary or light minutes of physical activity, but again, similar to the literature, less moderate to vigorous physical activity in the rural settings versus the urban settings. And so this is just looking at some of the, like, again, the Moran's eye, looking for spatial autocorrelation. And I've got the little arrows pointing down to the side that's basically saying that we did not have a significance for our sedentary or our total minutes of physical activity. So then again, we can go ahead and look at the regression. And so we found no significant associations between the NDVI, the greenness measure, and physical activity for rural youth or urban youth, which is sort of contrary to past findings. And then among urban youth, when we looked at the medium developed intensity, which is that mix of vegetation and constructed materials, within the Euclidean, the round neighborhood, it was positively associated with average sedentary minutes. However, when we looked at that same medium developed intensity variable using that network buffer, we found that it was positive associated with average light minutes of physical activity. So depending on the buffer type, you're seeing that we're having different outcomes of association. So the paired samples t-test examined the quality of means between those neighborhood types to better understand that, and we found that Euclidean neighborhoods had significantly higher greenness values for both rural and urban youth. So depending on if we had that round neighborhood buffer, that we were seeing higher greenness values just because that's how we defined our neighborhood. Similarly, they had the significantly higher amounts of low developed intensity values for both rural and urban youth compared to those network neighborhoods that we talked about. And then had significantly less medium and high developed intensity values. So going a little bit further into this, I wanted to show this example of what we're talking about here and why this might be important for researchers, especially in rural areas, is that this is actually an urban participant. And you can see that they're in a sort of a grid pattern, sort of a neighborhood where the green dot is. And the black line is the half-mile neighborhood network buffer where we're going along the street connections a half a mile out, and that's how we're saying this is that child's neighborhood. And then the half-mile Euclidean buffer is the big green circle. And so you can understand by looking at those two, you'll see that there's sort of a river going between there. And then on the other side, it looks like very green, dense forest area. And so if you think about how I might be calculating those greenness measures based on those variables, you can see the obvious difference that might be coming through in that it's capturing more area of greenness, but is it necessarily related to that physical activity participant going to those areas and having that association theoretically between the greenness of that area and the activity behavior that we might expect to see. And so obviously, the no association with the greenness variables with the urban youth was contradictory to some of the previous research, and so we do need to further explore those greenness variables as a construct associated with youth physical activity in both types of settings. But really looking at the significant association between the medium developed space and light youth physical activity, when we defined it by that network buffer, you may be seeing some associations with the walkability and the connectivity that those types of buffers imply. And it does support some of that previous research, mixed land use and natural open space is associated with increased walking in youth. So moving forward, the significant differences found by how we're defining our neighborhood buffers, either Euclidean or network, is really something that you need to start with at the beginning and understand those theoretical associations, and especially within rural youth, how we're understanding that those variables might be affecting their activity behavior, and really thinking about how to choose those buffer types and creating those spatial variables according to your sample. So neighborhood greenness may be a vital quality of active neighborhoods, but it appears to be more important in those urban settings, and especially when we're defining the neighborhood with a network buffer that is maybe associated with other smart growth variables such as connectivity and walkability, and that future research should seek to better understand the neighborhood definitions in rural settings and how they are related to both physical activity in both settings, rural and urban. And again, I guess I have to go, but I'd be glad to answer any questions by email, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.